Hello, and welcome to GCSE Maths Mastery. I'm your host, and today we're diving into a topic that might seem simple at first, but is absolutely crucial for your OCR GCSE Further Mathematics exam, error intervals. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Error intervals? Sounds boring. But trust me, this is one of those topics where understanding the details can earn you easy marks in the exam. We're talking about precision, bounds, and those tricky inequality symbols that can make or break your answer. In the next 10 minutes, we'll cover everything you need to know. What error intervals actually are, the difference between rounding and truncation. Yes, they're different. How to tackle exam questions, and the common mistakes that cost students marks every single year. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's master error intervals together. Core concepts. 5 minutes. Let's start with the basics. What exactly is an error interval? Imagine you measure something and record it as 7.3 centimeters, rounded to one decimal place. The question is, what was the actual measurement before rounding? It could have been 7.25, or 7.34, or 7.29999, any of these would round to 7.3. The error interval tells us the range of possible original values. For 7.3 rounded to one decimal place, the error interval is 7.25 up to, but not including, 7.35. We write this using inequality notation. 7.25 is less than or equal to x, which is less than 7.35. Notice the symbols carefully, less than or equal to on the left, but just less than on the right. This is absolutely critical for exam marks. Why the difference? Because 7.25 would round up to 7.3, so it's included in our interval, but 7.35 would round up to 7.4, so it's not included. The lower bound is inclusive, the upper bound is exclusive. Now, here's where it gets interesting and where many students lose marks. There are two ways numbers can be approximated, rounding and truncation, and they give you different error intervals. Rounding is what we've just discussed. You look at the next digit and round to the nearest value. But truncation is different. Truncation simply chops off the extra digits without caring what they are. It's like cutting with scissors, snip, and everything after that point is gone. So if we have 4.7 truncated to one decimal place, what's the error interval? Well, the original value must have been at least 4.7 because anything smaller like 4.69 would truncate to 4.6. And it must be less than 4.8, because 4.8 would truncate to 4.8, not 4.7. So for truncation, the interval is 4.7 is less than or equal to x, which is less than 4.8. Compare that to rounding, 4.7 rounded to one decimal place has the interval 4.65 to less than 4.75. See the difference? Truncation intervals start at the face value, rounding intervals start half a unit below. Let's talk about significant figures, because this is where error intervals get really wide. If I tell you a number is 300 to 1 significant figure, what's the error interval? The precision here is to the nearest 100, so we apply the half unit rule, plus or minus half of 100, which is 50. That gives us 250 is less than or equal to x, which is less than 350. That's a huge range. The key rule to remember is this. The error is plus or minus half of the place value of the last significant figure or decimal place. Write that down because it's your golden rule for finding bounds. Exam tips and common mistakes. 2 minutes. Right, let's talk exam technique because this is where you turn knowledge into marks. First, the number one mistake, using the wrong inequality symbol for the upper bound. I cannot stress this enough. Candidates lose a mark every single time they write x is less than or equal to 5.5, when the answer should be x is less than 5.5. Examiners are looking for that strict inequality on the upper bound. Remember, the upper bound itself would round up to the next value, so it can't be included. Second common mistake, confusing truncation with rounding. Read the question carefully. If it says truncated, the lower bound is the face value. If it says rounded, you need to go half a unit below. Third mistake, getting the interval width wrong for significant figures. For 300 to 1 significant figure, students often write 295 to 305, but that's wrong. The precision is to the nearest 100, so it's 250 to 350. Always identify what place value you're working with. Here's a top exam tip. When you're calculating bounds for compound measures like speed equals distance over time, write out the error interval for each variable separately first. Then for maximum speed, use maximum distance over minimum time. For minimum speed, use minimum distance over maximum time. Don't try to do it all in your head. Show you're working and you'll get method marks even if you make a small arithmetic error. And finally, timing. Error interval questions are usually worth 2 to 4 marks. That means you should spend about 2 to 4 minutes on them. If you're taking longer, you might be overthinking it. Quick fire, recall, quiz. 1 minute. Okay, let's test your recall with some quick fire questions. Pause after each one if you need to think. Question 1. What inequality symbol do you use for the lower bound of an error interval? Answer, less than or equal to. Question 2. What inequality symbol do you use for the upper bound? Answer, strictly less than, not less than or equal to. Question 3. If a number is truncated to 1 decimal place and shows 3.4, what's the upper bound? Answer, 3.5. Question 4. For a number rounded to 2 significant figures showing 4,500, what's the lower bound? Answer, 4,450. Question 5. True or false? The upper bound of an error interval is always inclusive. Answer, false. It's exclusive. How did you do? If you got them all right, brilliant. If not, go back and review those concepts. Summary and sign off? 1 minute. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways. Error intervals show the range of possible original values before rounding or truncation. Always use less than or equal to for the lower bound and strictly less than for the upper bound. That distinction is worth marks. Remember that rounding and truncation give different intervals. Rounding goes half a unit either side. Truncation starts at the face value. For significant figures, apply the half unit rule to the place value of the last significant figure. In the exam, read the question carefully, show you're working, and watch those inequality symbols like a hawk. Error intervals might seem like a small topic, but they're a gift for earning quick, reliable marks. Master this, and you're setting yourself up for success. Thanks for listening to GCSE Maths Mastery. Keep practicing, stay confident, and I'll see you next time. Good luck with your revision.